the day the only way they can.
We all don't know how none of this is going to play out.
Mike Meltzer.
I'm the most objective voice in Houston sports.
Original Texan Seth Payne.
Nah, screw that! I got you, old man McClain.
Paul Gallant.
Watch out, because I will nuke your ass.
Houston Sports Morning starts now with Mad Radio on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Mad Radio, welcome into the show. Mike, Seth, and Paul on a chilly Tuesday morning, straight up at 6 o'clock. How are you guys today?
Our boss is going to be happy that you mentioned that. We're supposed to remember to think about exactly what's going on in the minds of people as they drive in, and the cold is certainly one of them. And if there's some smarmy person that grew up north that tells you, well, back when I was a kid, it was negative 50 every morning, but I'll kick him. Kick him right in the groin. I'm not advocating that. I'm saying it sarcastically. I don't want to get any lawsuits over this. But look, people, this is it all depends on what you're prepared for at any specific moment in life. And here in Texas, We're not always ready for this early.
That's how I feel. The combination of where you are plus where it is in the calendar. I was in Chicago this weekend, and I flew in there Friday. We'll get into more details on why I'm saying that coming up at 6:20 today. You guys may be intrigued. But I fly in on Friday to visit my sister who's starting business school, and it was like 20 degrees, and I took the L train. And I walked to my buddy's house, and it was like 10 minutes from the L stop. And this 10 minutes was challenging in early November. I was like, this is pretty damn cold.
If you go to Chicago in the winter, and I haven't been there, but I have talked to some people that used to live there, and you got to bundle up practically to the point where none of your skin is exposed.
The moment you step out, you'll be frostbitten if you don't. It's like a Jack Kerouac. Jack London. It's like a Jack
not
London
Jack
novel.
Kerouac.
Jack Kerouac. I'm sure Jack Kerouac was like tripping on acid in Minnesota at some point in his life.
Call of the Wild is an underrated book. I'm a big fan of that book.
Is it underrated? It's like everybody in America has to read that book.
Yeah, I know, but I liked it. I haven't read it.
Like being like, white bread. Not many people know about it.
Well, it's not that I'm saying that nobody knows about it. It's one of those assigned reading books that I actually enjoy.
Yeah, I think that's why they assigned it. It was like the Harry Potter of the last century, where they're like, all right, we got to get these stupid bastards to read something they're interested in. And back in like the early 1900s, kids were like, yeah, the Klondike. I'll read that. And then 100 years later, it's like, yeah, goblins and crap.
How many wolf shirts do you think Jack London would have if he were alive today?
Jack London would be such an airbrush king. He would. Jack London would be selling his books at some country fair, like a county fair with a stand set up with tapestries of white wolves airbrushed onto him.
So Paul played in a charity flag football game.
Yes, it's the Reliant charity game. It's the second year that they did it. So what happens is, a bunch of members of the media go out there, and every single media member picks a charity. And just by showing up, Reliant gives $1,000 to that charity. Now, if you end up doing a little bit better, you get some extra prizes. The other cool thing is there are some high schoolers there, so they got some college scholarships, also $5,000 apiece.
What?
Some high school athletes. Yeah, it's very cool.
Wow.
And I did not expect this, but so J.J. Moses, who's a Texans ambassador, was the MC.
Yeah, he's very good.
And he was doing a very hard sell of the guest that was coming in. And I remember sitting next to Adam Wexler, and I look over to Adam, and I'm like, I bet they're going to bring up Brandon Wheaton, because he was saying, a quarterback. Built it up. Deshaun Watson came out.
What?
So Deshaun Watson actually came out, gave scholarships to these kids.
That's awesome.
Then afterwards gave us of the media advice as to how to play well in this media game, which I was the MVP of last year. So I got an extra $4,000 to St. Jude, which is the charity that I picked. Childhood cancer. It's the worst thing in the world. And
For some reason, I thought you were about to say it's the worst charity in the world. I was like, Paul, no. Redirect.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Say,
good charity, yeah.
So anyway, we start playing, and I do really well from the start. I get a nice catch the first play.
Was this at the bubble?
This was in the bubble, yes. Okay. Third play, I get a touchdown. I'm thinking to myself, all right, I'm going to get MVP again. But then the guy that was my quarterback, David Gao, just leaves. And he had something to do. So I had to play quarterback.
So basically you're saying he hates kids. Okay. Yeah, he left because he hates children.
So,
who are you playing for anywhere? Childhood cancer? I'm out.
Playing quarterback is difficult. It's something that I would do every now and then when I was playing flag football in college. And the big thing with me is I'm either above average or I'm just a rancid train wreck. And while I had a couple of nice throws, We all had a case of the dropsies, including myself, when I went back at wide receiver.
Well, you got Deshaun Watson watching. It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. And not only did I throw a couple of interceptions, one of which was the worst-looking pass ever. It was like spiraling awkwardly, this wobble. And Raheel over from 97.5, he picked it off. And Travis Johnson just talking mad trash on the sideline because he was the coach of the other team. I fumbled. I was trying to throw a ball downfield to someone who I thought was open, and all of a sudden he stopped and he moved out of the spot, and I was about to just chuck it, and I tried to pump fake it at the last second, and my hands are too small, so the ball just went straight down into the ground. So I fumbled, and I've never felt more shame.
Wait, but that should have been ruled an incomplete pass.
It wasn't an incomplete pass.
Oh, all right, okay.
But it was close enough
that
it felt like a replay,
there would have been a controversy about it.
Yeah, but it was a really sad moment for me.
So how did you end up at the end of the day? Were you the MVP?
We ended up losing 28-14. No, Raheel was. Raheel picked me off twice. He juked me once and had this like 60-yard quarterback scramble for a touchdown. It was basically me versus Raheel.
This feels like a battle between you two every year.
It was last year as well. Yeah. So he got the better of me this time. I need someone else to play quarterback. I just can't play quarterback.
Do you know what charity was he playing for?
So he has, and I forget the name of it off the top of my head, and I can look it up, but he has a charity that's for South Asian kids that are trying to assimilate into the United States, and basically they build like fields, and they help them to develop like friends by playing sports with other kids
For what it's worth, like, look, consider me woke. I'm glad that you didn't. I'm glad that you failed in your efforts to stop those South Asian kids from assimilating.
Paul Gallant's failures.
Raheel did something nice for those kids while you were trying to tear them down.
Paul Gallant's failures will lead to South Asian kids assimilating well.
Yes.
Good job.
That's the headline on that one.
The thrumble for good. Finally, somebody thrumbled for good instead of for evil.
Nothing really happened in sports of import on Monday, really.
What are you talking about?
Did something big happen?
Yeah, it was the New York Giants reclaiming their status as not definitely the worst team in the league right this moment. Well, like a lot of people thought, early through that game, Paul actually made a good observation halfway through that game, which was like, wait a second, this Giants team is the one that beat the snot out of the Texans?
Every single time you watch them play, that's all I can think of. Wow, the Giants won this game. And look, the Giants ended up finally winning a game against a 49ers team that, while they suck because of a lot of the injuries that they're dealing with, they have always been, at the very least, a decent watch. I'll give them that this season. Like, San Francisco's never been, oh, God, I can't watch them. Like, the games they've played and have been pretty interesting for the most part, even though they've been on way too many primetime games. But that's all I could think of.
Yeah.
The Texans lost to this Giants team.
This Mullins kid. Were people trying to talk themselves into him for a couple weeks here?
I don't think so. He does nice things in the shade. It's
a fun thing to watch in a Shanahan offense where he does all these things. I like to think that Texans fans enjoy watching the San Francisco 49ers or any Kyle Shanahan team play, because you see some of the similarities, and you're watching this tight end get extremely involved. This Kittle kid. Kittle was catching like every other pass. How many? I fell asleep. Did he end up with 47 receptions?
9 catches on 10 targets.
Which is about 8 catches more than a guy like Kittle should get in a game. If Kittle's...
he's good, though.
Don't get me wrong. Oh, I know good. They love him. They love him. But you know why they love him? Because he throws a fit on the sideline. A positive fit. And it gives something. It gives some
He's
kind
a
of
character.
Gives some kind of personality to that broadcast. It gives a little something to Jason Witten.
Jason Witten wishes he could be George Kittle. And I remember watching the game. There was a moment where they set up talking about Eli Manning as a Hall of Famer, and Booger McFarland just comes in hot, and he's like, nah. The guy, and he had some stats that were incorrect. I think he said that Eli Manning's never played in a playoff game in a season where the Giants didn't win the Super Bowl, which was erroneous.
That's completely incorrect.
But that was besides the point, because he was right. And then Jason Witten, of course, comes out saying, well, of course Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer. And then Joe Tessitore is scoffing at Booger, and I got pissed. I was like, Booger in the Boogermobile doesn't have the access to statistics that is necessary, and Jason Witten still sucks. And of course Jason Witten is going to advocate for a middling quarterback that won because of defenses and 2 Super Bowls. He's going to give that guy a Hall of Fame nod.
So they were crapping on Booger McFarland's take?
Yes. Booger came out and they were asking, would you put Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame as he's underthrowing Saquon Barkley by 20 yards?
And they were, so the both the guys in the booth were just adamant that he definitely 100% was. Like, they weren't even lending credence to the notion that, hey, it's debatable.
Joe didn't give his take on it, but Joe, you got the sense that he felt that Eli should. And Jason Witten, of course, playing in the NFC East and having no takes of value, thought that Eli, of course, was a Hall of Famer.
Witten's in a tough spot because he comes off sounding like a hater.
He's played Eli twice a year, so his opinion's going to carry more weight. Now, if Jason Witten went out there and said, hey, Eli's not a Hall of Famer, that would be by far the most interesting thing he said on ESPN all year.
Yeah, people might have a reason to watch, like, for the people in the booth, which is, I still think that's an unfair bar. If anything, your goal in the booth should be to get the hell out of the way of the broadcast. The problem is that Witten's so bad at it that he can't get out of the way. It's like he's trying to get out of the way of an oncoming semi, but he's like buck naked doing it. So you can't look away from this tragedy that's about to happen every single time he opens his mouth.
I still kind of feel bad for him in a way. I just feel like he's been put in a tough spot.
Yes.
He put himself
of his own
there.
Volition.
Tough spot.
If he didn't think he was ready, he should have gone to the D team of CBS or the F team of Fox.
This is what happens. I can tell you from personal experience, this is what happens when you're a professional athlete, is you spend too long, you spend like a decade of people thinking that anything you say is interesting, and sometimes you delude yourself into thinking you're more interesting than you are, just because, you open your mouth, and you're like, wow, Jason Witten, that was really profound, the way you said that you got to establish the run to set up the pass, good job. So he thought, like, yeah, cool, I'm just going to go in, and I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing, and it turns out it's absolutely not what you should be doing.
This
you need
the-
to bring more.
This is the game that he should be calling when it's like week 9 and it's on Fox. This is what he should be doing.
That's true. That's a good point.
I should have weaned him into it. I mean, I'm sure that he could be better, but I feel like you put him in this big spot, number one. And number two, you have him in there with Booger McFarland, who's just alpha-ing him at every single turn he can. I mean, there's no way that he could succeed in this role. And I don't know why they thought that putting Booger on this sideline in the Booger-mobile was going to be something where Booger just was like saying, yeah, I'm going to let Jason Witten just have the entirety of the show here.
I don't know, but I don't know if that's what they planned on it being. They thought, hey, it'll be a three-man booth, except Booger will be down on the Booger buggy, and that's what's going to make it interesting or unique. I don't know. Do you think they end up next year just with, will they just get rid of Witten?
I don't know.
Because I feel like if Tessitore is going to pull a power move, he's got to be like, look, this guy's making me sound like crap.
But all the stories that Richard Deitch wrote about was how basically Joe Tessitore had Witten over for like Italian pasta and how they like hit it off and start throwing
get
the
along.
Football.
Still read Richard Deitch.
But I don't understand. Like, so what? They got along, all right? I get along with my mom. She'd be horrible in the booth with me to broadcast the game.
They
horrible.
Had an Italian dinner together.
Yeah, so that's amazing. You know who else has Italian dinners together? People who are about to assassinate other mafiosos.
Ooh, that's
all
true.
Right? So don't sit here and tell me that an Italian dinner is somehow the bomb for everything.
I believe that is, I believe that you are persecuting with that statement.
Why?
I'm just kidding.
Why's that?
I don't know what they're going to do. I think that you could see the same booth next year just because they're not going to want to admit that they made a mistake in putting this thing together. Although I could see it as just being, you know what, let's get Booger out of that thing and let's just put these three guys in a booth together. But I think right now, if I had to bet on it, I think I might bet on them just keeping these three guys
for next year. They need to have Tessitore in the same booth as both of them, though, too, because at times during the game, like, and this has nothing to do with even their personalities, this is just a setup. There are times where Tessitore needs to be explaining what's going on the field, but he can't make eye contact with Booger to tell him to shut up. So Booger's saying something that's good, but the problem is he's leapfrogging on top of something that Witten just said. And meanwhile, like, calls are being made on the field. Officials are changing who possesses the ball. And then you come back to the action, and you're like, oh, I have no clue what's going on here. So just simple geography. Geography matter. Everybody in this virtual world thinks, oh, we can teleconference people in, whether it's a business meeting or Booger down in the Booger-mobile. You can't do that. Sometimes you got to be right next to somebody.
Well, what if they had added Paul to the show, but they're like, all right, he's going to broadcast down the freeway the whole time.
Yeah.
So, like, we're sitting up here, and Paul is, like, down the corner
of
59.
Yeah, it's get out of the way! Get out of the way! You suck! You're getting road rage.
That would be a weird deal.
That wouldn't work.
It wouldn't actually be that bad. You could pull that off, because we're not operating it with the same speed and intensity of a Monday Night Football broadcast.
Of course. We could pull it off. It just wouldn't be as good as having someone where they're in the line of sight.
When I was doing those shows remotely, some people thought they were better shows. because, for one, I had to shut up and let you finish your speech.
They were slightly different in that, like, we both had to really listen to what the other person was saying.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. I enjoyed what that period of time when you were listening to what I was saying.
I mean, I know I do listen, but sometimes, like, when people are in the room, like, there are times where you might be just, like, be thinking of the next thing. You're going to say, you guys know how this works.
Yeah, I know, because you could look at me and be like, all right, he's got another 30 seconds in him.
Yeah,
my wife said you sounded happier. Which I guess by extension would mean I was less unbearable when we did those remote broadcasts.
What I did like, actually, is that people like different challenges at work, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, we largely, not that this job is not a challenge, because trust me, it is. But on those days, I'd be like, okay, this is like a unique thing. And it like kind of puts you more, it kind of like puts you more on edge.
You
got to
dial in.
Yeah, you
got to
dial in.
I could have Paul tickle your feet while you try to deliver takes.
That
would
not
be a challenge.
With a feather?
I'm ticklish.
Did you know this, by the way? I was reading about the stockade the other day, back when they used to put people in stocks, like as punishment.
Great form of punishment.
Well, there was it was actually the pillory where you'd have your head and hands in it. But when you just have your feet locked in it, these little bastard village kids would come in and take your shoes off and tickle you while you were stuck in the stocks.
Must be terrible. Some joy that would come out of that for like 5 seconds before you realize that these little children are terrifying your feet.
There's no chance that I wouldn't be telling that kid that I was going to hunt him down and kill him in his sleep. That was that would be nipped in the bud right there.
Shout out to Jackie Goss with the assist on Twitter. Community Focus Foundation is Raheel's foundation, by the way.
Yes.